Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Subscriptions for Authors podcast. So today we have a really fun episode all about how to grow your readership through in-person events. And we have a very special guest with us, Anna McCluskey, who is an urban fantasy author who, at this point, you're like a master at in-person events. You're doing 3 just for reaching readers this year alone. That still hasn't happened yet. So 3 more this year. And on top
more
of
than that, yeah.
Doing more than 3.
Yeah, I think maybe there were 3 when I booked this last week, but I've applied to a couple more. Yeah.
Whoa. You're hitting the event circuit. And that's something that it's not like the first thing a lot of us think about, like how to grow as an author, going to in-person events. But you're doing it. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how you've used that to grow your subscription, how you use also Kickstarter, and also going to talk about how you've recently gotten into a different side of events with actually running and managing the Subscriptions for Authors Summit, which is coming up very shortly. So yeah, an event-filled podcast with the event leader and aficionado. But Anna, it is great to have you here. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast. It's so funny because I think we met almost like a little over a year ago, I think is like we kind of like informally met through the Facebook group. And then you joined the All-Star team right around a year ago, which was and still is the group of awesome authors that help out at moderating the group, help out just in terms of all the things that go on in the Facebook group. And then after that, we did the little virtual summit. We were like, oh, we're going to do an in-person conference for the Subscriptions for Authors community. And then I remember, I think it was that first Ream like quarterly call, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you watched on YouTube, or were you there live?
I was there live, and you like shared future positions that would be available, and I just latched on to a community and events manager, and I was like, I could do that. And I just like immediately that day put together my resume and cover letter and sent it, and you were like, well, we weren't gonna hire anybody for a while, but since it's you, and I was like, okay.
And yeah, that's how it all started. And now it's wild because as we're recording this, we're a little over a month out from like the first big live event we're doing. But this all started planning now 7-8 months ago, I think. It's at least been half a year of like solid planning, but it's really been close to 7 or 8 months. Talk to us what you're excited about for the upcoming summits. And what are they? Because we're talking about this event going on, but what is it?
Yeah, so there's technically 2 summits, right? There's the in-person summit, and then we're also doing another virtual summit similar to last year's, but of course with new programming and everything like that. And yeah, so the in-person one is just, it's a couple days in May, and it's just going to be like jam-packed full of like amazing information and networking and discussion and just everything subscriptions and like morning to night. Like we have an informal breakfast networking thing anybody can come to if they want. And then the actual like speakers, we have an amazing lineup. And then there's luncheon discussions and salons you can go to for dinner that have different themes, marketing or branding or whatever. And then after that, even there's an after hours thing, which I think you're running that, Michael. I'm not a night person. I'm going to go home or not home to the hotel. And then the next day, again, breakfast, speakers, lunches, more speakers. Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. And it's not like a huge event either, which I think is going to be really cool to have just this core group of really enthusiastic people all just doing their thing together and learning and helping each other learn. So I'm excited. Yay.
I'm excited too. Yeah, it's a bunch of author friends hanging out and learning together. And it'll be taking place in Boston. So for folks who are like in the Boston area or who know writers in the Boston area, it's definitely a great conference to be at. And you can find the link to actually get a ticket in the description. You can feel free to reach out if you have any questions. We're only a month out, so definitely if you are interested, now would probably be the time, because you're going to want to make sure you get your travel plan settled. And another thing that we're doing, especially for folks who might not be close to Boston, who might not want to come to an in-person conference, although we're going to be talking all about in-person events today, will be people who want to come to the virtual summit, which is taking place 12 days after, or is it 13 days? I think it's 10 days after.
It's the 18th and 19th. I haven't done the math.
Yeah, it's somewhere around like a week and a half after the in-person summit, giving us a little time to recover. If you come to the in-person summit, you automatically have a ticket to the virtual summit. And if you come to the virtual summit, we'll make sure you get some recordings of the in-person summit. It won't be live stream, but the virtual summit will be live stream to folks who have tickets. And we have another group of 10 plus speakers, some awesome panels, and that'll be fun because we'll also have some virtual meetups. So it should be an amazing event. And that will be taking place on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Friday night, there'll be some stuff too. So feel free to check out that as well. That'll be at the same link, summit.subscriptionsforauthors.com. And we'd love to have you involved. It should be a lot of fun.
Yes.
And super grateful for you, Anna, being able to take the lead and do an awesome job getting all these speakers, getting all the programming, all the logistics, especially for in-person. There's a lot of moving pieces, but it's honestly, we tried to do everything we can to think of every little area that can make the event better and awesome and smooth for y'all. We even have a van that's going to pick up and drive people from some of the nearby hotels. The Greenmobile, which will be super fun. And the venue itself is really special. So we do hope to see you all there. And on the topic of events and why you should go to events, obviously, we just told y'all why you should go to the Subscriptions for Authors Summit. But today we want to talk a little bit more broadly about events, especially events that are like reader focused or reader adjacent focused, where you can actually hypothetically, hopefully, grow your audience. But let's talk about that, because I know you, Anna, have been to tons and tons of events. But for folks who might be listening who've never been to a signing for, never been to a con, never been to, even there's events that aren't reader focused that you can still go to. They might be just general craft fairs or local artist exhibits. Lots of different options. But why should someone consider going to an in-person event? Is it worthwhile for authors? And if it is, are there specific authors who you think would be more successful or find in-person events more worthwhile? And yeah, I guess, importantly, why did you get into it?
It has been very, very worthwhile for me. I actually make most of my author money through events. And wow. I think that one of the reasons that I'm so successful is that I do have kind of a good kind of in-person personality. Like, people like me for some reason. I don't know. So I think that if you're timid or you don't really enjoy talking to people, then it might not be for you. But if you can talk to people and you want to connect with readers on an individual basis right there in person, I think that events can be really great. I have made some great super fans at events because they've met me. They've talked to me. They know who I am, as well as getting to know my work and my book. And so I think that's a really big piece of it. And I come from a food service background as well. I've been a bartender, a barista. I know how to sell. And I think that's key. But it's not that hard. Basically, just going in and being personable and asking people questions and getting to know them and getting to know what book they're going to want and going, okay, this one is really good for you. And it's hard to resist that when an author is just going, hey, you'd like this book. You personally would like this book. I think that's, if you can do that, then you can make this work. And it's just a really great way to connect with people. And people just love to meet local authors. If you're doing events that are in your area and you can say, yes, I'm a local author. I'm just like you. I live here. I do things the same kinds of things that you do, but I also write these books. People love to connect that way. And yeah, there are so many different kinds of events that you can do too. It's not just, I think there's a miscomprehension, I think, among authors that like only fantasy or sci-fi authors can go to a Comic-Con and sell books, and that's what in-person events are. But I do craft fairs, I do makers markets, I do individual signings at bookstores where it's just me and I'm reading a couple chapters and then signing books. I do Comic-Cons. I am an urban fantasy author. I do Pride Fests. I do art fairs. I do all kinds of stuff. Getting creative with it is really key, I think, to getting a wide range of events rather than just maybe one or two a year. Not that there's anything wrong with just doing one or two a year, but if you want to be, if you want this to be a big part of your author business, then there's a lot of opportunities out there for any genre.
Why don't you talk to me about your first event? Because I, now that you've done it many times, it makes sense that you now know, you know it. So you've got the playbook, you've sourced events. It's a lot of work, but what made you say, I'm going to try this? Because it's a leap, right? Like, to put yourself out there as an author is a leap. And how did that first event go?
I'm trying to think what the first event was. It's been so many.
It's been a while.
I remember why I wanted to do it, though. I remember that my first event was a craft fair, like a small craft fair. I want to say it was actually my friend who has a restaurant was doing a craft fair outside of her restaurant. And so there was like, it was like maybe 15 or 20 vendors. And yeah, I'm pretty sure this was the first one I did. Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? Why not? I'm going to set up a booth. I'm going to do this here. And I did it because I wanted to get practice, because I wanted to start doing larger events. I wanted to start doing like Comic-Cons and things like that. And it hadn't really occurred to me before that I could do smaller events, but I just wanted to practice. And I think I made a good deal of money at that one. And it was a very small event and it didn't have a lot of foot traffic either. It was not, I probably wouldn't do that event now because it wouldn't feel like it was worthwhile to me at this point in my career, but it was a really good starting point. I think I made like $200 that day, I think. So yeah, so it was not nothing by any means, but it was small and it was probably perfect for my first one to just, you know, set up and make $200. And I think that it was really hot that day, and so that was not great. It was an outside event, and like I said, there was not a lot of traffic. But if you talk to every single person who goes by, even if there's not a lot of people, you're going to get a certain percentage of those people, and you're going to sell to however many people like books, or sometimes even people who don't like books, but want to buy them for somebody else or want to get into reading or things like that. I always start with a very open-ended question so that I can get them engaged. So I don't, if you just ask everybody who walks by, do you like fantasy books? They can just go, no, and keep walking. But what I usually say is, how do you feel about fantasy books? And then you have a wider range of answers. And a lot of times you do get people going, I wish I could read more. I don't have time. And that's when you pick up your novella series and you say, this is a great one to get back into reading. Or they might say, oh, my niece really loves fantasy books. I'm not that into it. Go, oh, what's her favorite book? And then you're engaging. And next thing, she's buying a copy for her niece. So even a small event, you talk to everybody, you get some of them. And yeah, I think starting with something that is just very friendly. Like I said, it was run by a friend of mine. And I think that helps. That helps you feel more comfortable because that there are people around who are supportive of you and who invited you, or even if nobody invited you, like talking to somebody who does events can be a really great way to find a first event. And then that, oh, five booths down, Steve is there and he's doing great and you can do great too, or whatever.
This reminds me a lot of similar to the idea of, if you're trying to do cross promos or even Facebook group parties, like how you get into that. And it somewhat feels like an in-person version of a lot of the things that maybe more of us are used to, at least in the indie author world now. But if anything, like this is the real OG version of it. And I really love that you're talking about some of the readers that you now have your books and that might be customers of yours and now super fans might not actually traditionally be like readers or even think of themselves as readers. That's really, I want to touch more on that, but let's first start with, because amazing story about your first event. I think it's very possible for everyone to, like, even if you don't know someone, maybe you pick a familiar restaurant that's doing an event that, like, even if worst comes to worst, doesn't go well, it's close by, you like the food there, whatever. There's always a way to make it simple. But you did this first event, and then you must have had a thought at some point that was like, I'm going to do more, a lot more. How did you start to choose what events to go to? Because you mentioned this, all these different kinds of events. And you also mentioned that nowadays you probably wouldn't do that first event you did. But when I'm hearing it, I'm going, wow, $200 in a day sounds like a really good day. So tell me now what your thought process is when finding and choosing to go, I want to apply for an event. I want to get a vendor table here, et cetera.
Yes, I think first off, I usually do established events at this point that I can talk to the organizer and say, how many people are you expecting? How many people have been to the last one? A lot of times I talk to other vendors at events and go, hey, what's your next event? Where are you going next? What events have done really well for you? And that works really well as far as finding new events. I will say if there's an event that is like every month or something like that, I won't do every month. I won't apply for, if I do it in August, I won't apply again for September. I'll apply again for November or something like that, because you do get a lot of the same customers as well at these events and you want to space that out and do more different ones. A really great way too to find events is like joining Facebook groups that are focused on events, because people will post information about their events. So like I'm in one for Oregon, I'm in one for Pacific Northwest and things like that. And then I look for events that are maybe a little bit unusual. So for example, there's this pop-up that does like monthly events all over the Willamette Valley, and it's called Market for the Strange. And so I figure my tagline is urban fantasy for weirdos. All the weirdos are going to be there. So looking for events that kind of have your target market. So if you write romance novels that are aimed at women age 30 to 50, I don't know. I don't write romance. But I want to let people know that it's not just science fiction and fantasy that like do well at events. But say your target market is women age 30 to 50, maybe going to like a Christmas bazaar or something like that, that a lot of women in that age range would be going to, something that would be a fundraiser for a school or something like that. A lot of moms would be there, something like that. Just think about where your target market is, in the same way that you do with social media. People always tell you if your readers are on Instagram, be on Instagram. It's the same kind of thing with in-person events. I write a lot of neurodivergent and queer characters. So I go to Market for the Strange and Pride Fest, and I do very well at Pride Fest, actually. And a big part of that too is that, again, going back to that, people like to see a local author who is like them. They like to connect with you. And so, yeah, finding your target readership in person is very similar to finding your target readership online.
Yeah. No, it makes so much sense. And I love the idea of get creative and find something unusual. That's something great. And I think in most cities now, I know you're in the Pacific Northwest. I'm at least right now in New England, in the Boston area. But to give an example, in Boston, there's a newsletter called The B-Side. Boston Globe runs it, but it's like a spinoff. And I know the guy who started it, super interesting. Basically, it's like a Gen Z-ish to young millennial focused newsletter that really is trying to talk about in-person events and other things in the Boston area. And what's really cool about it is that you can literally just subscribe to the free newsletter and get information about upcoming events. And that could be another way to discover things. And it's funny, when you were specifically mentioning Christmas bazaars, I was thinking of my mom, and I'm like, yeah, she would love going to those. She's not quite in the 30 to 40 range, but definitely would be maybe reading. I don't know. My mom's not exactly a reader by like trade, which is weird because I'm a huge reader, but she is definitely like, she's the exact demo of someone who would be at a Christmas market, would love reading a local author. And she's loyal to a very few authors that she will read when she has time. She reads maybe a couple books a year. And I think there's a lot of people like my mom who love going to events like that. And that's someone who you can ask, not my mom. No, not the whole world can ask my mom about the events she goes to. But you could ask someone who's like you're a profile reader, but who's like a friend of yours, who maybe reads similar-ish books, similar-ish interests, to like who your target audience would be, and be like, hey, what are some events in the area that you like to go to? Because other people have good answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So finding your readers can be as simple as asking your readers where they are.
And you normally go for local events, right? So meaning, are you booking events where there's hotels involved and all of that? Is that something that you're doing often, or do you like to stay away from? Because there's obviously an extra expense when you count in hotels and greater travel costs.
Yeah, no, I try not to accrue too many expenses. I do. So I live in a small town, an hour and a half south of Portland. So I do events in Portland pretty frequently. And so when I'm up there, I will either stay with a friend or get an Airbnb. And obviously that is more expense. And so I will only do like larger events where I know I'm going to make that back. So coming up, I have one in Portland in August called the Ghosts of Summer. So that's going to be like a Halloween in August sort of situation. And it should be a large event. So I know I'll make back my travel expenses. I do Rose City Comic Con. I do Fan Expo Portland. Again, those are huge events that span multiple days. And I know that I'm going to make a good $1,000 plus at those events. And so spending $200 on a hotel room and $50 to rent a car, those are acceptable. If I was doing like a smaller craft fair, I would want it to be local where I'm not going to be spending a ton of money and then only making $300 or $400, which is great if that's pure profit. But if you factor in hotel rooms and things like that, that can really eat into your cost, your profit.
Yeah. And also can't forget the cost of the actual books, which printing books is a cost for sure.
Always fees as well. Those smaller events are usually like $75 to $200, varies a lot. Comic cons and things like that are usually upwards of $300 to $400. And so you want to make sure that you're incorporating that into your plans. A lot of times with those larger events, though, you can get discounted boost fees if you agree to do programming. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Oh, that's really good, actually, especially because at some larger events, too, especially if you're targeting events that might not necessarily always have authors at it. For instance, Natalie Keller Reinhart, someone we had in the podcast, who's an equestrian fiction author, and she would attend a lot of equestrian fiction events. Equestrian events. There was no fiction authors there. So she'd be the only fiction author there, right? Or one of the only. So you're in a group of, there's readers there, especially there's a lot of people interested in horses, and she's writing equestrian fiction. So again, it makes a lot of sense. But there's definitely an opportunity for me. I'm like, oh, I could go to meetups of entrepreneurs and science people, because that's like what I write. Like, I don't necessarily write the science fiction that does well at cons. I'm more like the near future technology type stuff. So no, that's just super inspiring. And let's pretend like we've mapped out our first event to go to, or maybe a couple, although you probably should start with just one.
Yes.
And we've done the math where hopefully we'll break even. Hopefully this is money we can lose too, because weather can actually ruin an event day in terms of the show up. So you definitely don't want to spend money you don't have. So starting small is good. But how do I prepare for my first event? What goes into that process?
So you're going to want to, first off, find out what the event is providing for you. So most small events will not provide your table. If it's an outdoor event, you need a tent. You want to make sure and figure out what your booth size is too, because that'll vary a lot. Sometimes you've got a full 10 by 10 situation. A lot of times you have a 4 by 6 table and that's it. And so if they're not providing tables and chairs and tents and things like that, you need to make sure you have those. You're going to want table dressings. So some kind of tablecloth, whether it's branded or just a simple black covering. You don't want a bare table. That's going to look just terrible. You definitely need to be able to draw people in with a good visual. And so having that table dressing and then some display kind of stuff, you need to figure out what all you're going to be selling. So obviously you'll have print books. Print books are the thing that is going to sell the most at an event. And so you'll want to make sure that you can display those properly. So I have these little stands that my books can sit in. And then what I'll do is I'll prop up one of each book and then, or actually just the first in series, I'll prop up one of each of those. And then I'll have the rest of the series kind of arrayed in front of it. And then I have some cute little like string lights that I'll arrange on the table. I have this like wooden crate that kind of creates some visual interest and some levels. So one book can be on top of that and the rest can be on the table, and that kind of creates that visual interest. You're going to want probably some kind of identification of yourself. So I use like a stand-up banner that has a picture of one of my books and says fantasy author Anna McCluskey. A lot of people will just do a table runner that has their information on it, which can be good if you don't have a lot of space. Usually I can finagle putting the banner like in front of my table if I don't have a lot of space, but then of course that cuts off part of your table. So I do recommend setting up in your house a little bit, like before, like a few days before your, or actually probably more than that, because you might need to buy stuff. Maybe a month before your event, just set up your table and figure out how you want it so you can know what all you'll need to buy. You'll need to figure out how many books to bring. So talking to the organizer of the event and finding out how many people there are going to be is key, because some events you're going to sell 50 books and some events you're going to sell 10. And so hopefully more than 10, but you're going to want to figure that out. You're going to want to decide if you want to bring just your first in series or if you want to bring full series. I started out just bringing book one. And then after a few events, I would have people come up and go, oh, hey, I bought book one at such and such event. Can I get book two? And so I started bringing extras. And you also will get people who want to buy full series too. It's not as many, but so decide if you how you want to do that. And you'll always sell more of book one, though. So always bring more book one than the rest. I usually just bring 10 each of the rest of the series.
So to be very clear about that ratio, you're bringing like for every 10 of book one, let's say I'm bringing just 10 book one to a con or event, how much of the later series should I bring?
First off, yeah. I would bring more than 10 of book one.
No, I'm getting a ratio because for an event, they also like four every 10.
Say if I was bringing 10 of book one and anticipating that amount of sales, and I have two series right now, so I would bring 10 of A Curse of King of Corkscrew and 10 of Magic Today. I would probably bring two each of the rest of each series.
Okay. So that's about the sell-through you get from book one to book two, at least up front.
Yeah.
Because 20% of people will just buy everything.
Yeah, that seems about right. Usually I'll actually bring more like 20 of each of book one, and these are for smaller events, and then I think 5 of each of the rest of the book. And I do try to keep that inventory on hand. So when I do an event, I will immediately order everything that I sold to have it for the next event. And that works really well for me because I've got that money right there and I'm just going to put it right back in there, and then the rest is profit. And then that's print books. If you're not in KU, you can sell eBooks at events. You're not going to sell as many, but there will be people who come up and go, oh, is it available on Kindle? I'll go check you out on Amazon. And if you can say, actually, no, you can buy it right here and now, They will. And that's money you wouldn't have if you didn't have those. So what I do is I have little cards that have the book cover on them. And then on the back, they have a download code from BookFunnel. And so I just sell the card for $5. And then if they buy the full series, they'll get a discount. But and you will, people will be more likely to buy the full series in ebook because cheaper. But I do sell full series pretty frequently with print books, especially since I started. I do a little bundle of them that I like wrap up in ribbon really pretty. So it's like a visual, hey, you can buy the full series. And they go, oh, hey, look at that. It's a full series. And then you give them a little discount and that works really well.
No, that's super smart. And it gets me thinking, talking about like full series. A lot of times we hear as authors, oh, don't run Facebook ads until you have like at least 3 books because you're not going to be profitable. These are just things I've heard go around the author community. In reality, there's a degree of truth to that. It's somewhat hard to break one on paid ad, break even on paid ads for book one. Obviously, a lot of authors ask the same questions about getting started in subscriptions. And the answer is like having more books helps, but oftentimes subscriptions are based around serialized early access. So people are really there for the new content. Anyways, there's always like these different rules and things, and there's never no one right answer. So with that caveat, do you recommend authors have more than one book published before going to an event?
I don't think that's necessary because, like I said, first off, you're going to sell more of book one regardless. And if you just have one book, that seems fine. You're going to want to figure out how to fill in the rest of your table. But I think a lot of people coming to events would probably, and this is all speculation because I did not start out with just one book, but I think a lot of people would be really excited to see that you're just starting out. And I think that would bring people to really want to support you. If you just have one book and then you talk about maybe more books that you're going to come out with and you're excited about it, I think people would be really into that. Of again, it's that relatability. They're connecting with you as a person who's similar to them. And if you're just starting out, that's exciting, I think.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's really good to hear. And especially hearing that ratio of the sales from book one to book two and three, it makes sense. And that's exciting. And now when we get to the actual event day, we're already mentioning some of your advice about like asking a question that's like introductory and a little bit more general so you can spark conversations with people. But what would be like Anna's event playbook for running a booth? Are you supposed to stand in front of the booth? Is that intimidating? Do you sit down at the booth? Obviously, some folks might have abilities where they need to be sitting down and totally understand that. But like, what would be how you go about doing your event table?
I stand up behind my table. I don't see anybody standing in front of their table. I think that would just confuse people probably because you don't seem like you're the vendor. It might work for somebody maybe because it's unusual, but that's not what I do. I stand behind the table and I do stand the entire time. Usually I'll sit down for a few minutes here and there when I just need a break. But I think that standing gives me that appearance of high energy and it's easier to reach out to people and you're on their level. But I see a lot of vendors and authors sitting and still selling quite a lot. So I think if you have mobility issues or you just don't feel comfortable standing or you just want to stand for part of it and sit for part of it, I think you can still do that. I don't think that's a problem. And I just know that when I was selling food at like festivals and things like that, standing always worked. But I think with books, it's a little bit different because you're still going to draw the people in who want the books. But I do stand. And I do talk to people and I call out to them as they walk by and I say, hey, how do you feel about fantasy books? And when they come up and they're like, I love fantasy, I go, I write fantasy. And that always gets a little chuckle. And then I go, would you say you're more into like funny books or like action-y books? And I base my next recommendation on that. So if somebody says they want funny books, then I always say, hey, you would really love my Rhymes with Witch series. If they say they want actioning books, then I go to my Matilda Holiday series. If they say they want like a little blend of each, then I tell them Matilda Holiday because it's got a little bit of humor. If they say I only read romance books, I go, hey, there's a really cute romantic subplot in this book. So you generally fit your elevator pitch to what they respond. And if somebody says, I like all of it, I go, all right, I'm going to give you a lot of information now. How do you feel about that? And they usually, again, get a chuckle. And then I give them my blurb of each. I say blurb. It's not the blurb. It's on the back of the book. It's my specific spiel that I use at events, which is very repetitive. And you will have to memorize something and you will be saying the same things over and over again. And it does get a little tedious. But remember that they haven't heard it before. Long as you can keep it fresh for each person. So just still maintain that level of excitement about your books. Find a way to do that. Whether that's mixing up the words a little bit each time, whether that's connecting what they've already said to what you're about to say, and just, you got to keep it fresh because it's fresh for them. So I do my spiel. If they seem really interested in a specific book, I tell them to pick it up and read the back, and they usually will do that. And if they don't seem at all interested in buying, but they seem interested in my books, I do have that I have propped up on a thing that has my reader magnet with a QR code and then QR codes for my Facebook, Instagram, Ream, Kickstarter. I used to give out bookmarks with all of that information, and I found that people didn't end up scanning those codes because I think it just gets lost in their pocket, purse, tote bag, whatever. But if you have it on a poster board and they can do it right then and there, they're a lot more likely to do it. And that's been a lot more effective for me. I do usually still have bookmarks with me because sometimes somebody will go, oh, I don't have my phone on me. Or it'll be an older person and I don't know how to use these QR codes. And then I'll give them a bookmark and then they feel special because I tell them the bookmarks are just for people like them. And so then you always have to be aware that not everyone at an event is going to buy the books right then. And there's going to be a tail of the event. And so getting people to scan those codes, getting people on your newsletter list, and you should have a newsletter list that is specifically for events, or at least an automated, what's the word? An automated sequence for if they join at an event that says things like, hey, it was really great to meet you, as opposed to, oh, you've got this book that you downloaded from across from, you want it to be specific to events. And then if they're local, then it's good to have another list that tells them about other local events that they can go to and see you, especially if they didn't buy the book, but maybe they want to. And I always tell people to, oh, scan this code. It'll get you on my newsletter. You'll get all the information. You can unsubscribe at any time. I won't notice. That always gets a chuckle too. So I think being personable and having these kind of built-in jokes that, again, you've said them a million times, but they haven't heard it, really helps create that kind of persona of author that they want to connect with.
Yeah, no, that's super important. And everything, like the follow-up too, is amazing advice. One thing I am curious about, and I don't know if this gets easier over time, but obviously not everyone is going to buy your book, as you mentioned, but also you mentioned calling out to people as they go by, which seems very smart. And they are walking through the vendor booth, so you would think they're there. But I've gone to a lot of arts and crafts fairs and lots of different events and signings. And that seems to be like the best strategy because you're going to get the most people to see you because they're going to know about you. You're being open and friendly. But a lot of people I know at these events, because it's hard, right? You create something beautiful. You have your thing, whether it's art, whether it's a story, and you might just be sitting back there, like you said, a little bit more timid. The advantage of that is that you're probably not getting rejected. In your case, I imagine that there have been moments, probably every single time you do it, where you get rejected, someone moves on, someone goes, no, thank you. How do you deal with that? Because I imagine that's not a good feeling. It's not like a happy thing.
It's fine. Like you say, not everybody's going to, for one thing, not everybody's going to appreciate my specific brand. I'm writing for a specific audience. And if that person is not in my audience, that's not personal. I'm not going to take that personally. That's just, they're not my people and they're going to move on and buy, I don't know, a necklace from the guy next to me, whatever. That's fine. Yeah, I don't take it personally, if that makes sense. And I think that you just need to realize that if you're going to do events, is that you're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. And that even if you are somebody's cup of tea, they might have already spent a lot of money at that event and maybe they don't have any left, or there's a lot of times too, especially at the bigger cons, where people will come by on day one and they're not buying anything that day. They want to see everything. And a lot of times they'll tell you they're going to come back and they won't. And that one kind of stings sometimes. But a lot of times they do come back. And you got to think about, too, again, that tail. There's also been events where, like local events, where I've seen people three or four times before they've bought my books. And if you just keep putting yourself out there, there's going to be a certain percentage of people who are going to buy them. And sometimes if you recognize people and you're just, hey, I saw you at the Market for the Strange last month. Now you're here at the Yokai Market. That's so cool. How are you doing? A lot of times they'll appreciate that and they'll come and talk to you again, and eventually they will buy a book. And that kind of feels good because you're putting that work out and you're connecting with that person and they appreciate it. I think that makes a difference.
I love that you're mentioning that, like, you've experienced people who take multiple events where they've come to your booth multiple times to talk to you, and it takes a couple of times to actually buy from you. That to me is all plays into this follow-up that you're doing as well. And one of the biggest things I think we sometimes don't do as authors, we're so focused on what is the upfront sale we can get. We just got it from a reader. What can we get? What is that bundle we can sell them? And all that's great. Like, we should be doing it, of course. But really all of the actual money in marketing is made in following up with people, whether that's being in front of people multiple times by going to multiple events, whether that's getting them on your mailing list and being able to follow up with them, or like you're doing, obviously doing it all. And what I now want to ask is, so someone buys your book at an event, buys your books, plural. Obviously, you're coming out with new books. Obviously, most people aren't going to buy your entire catalog at an event, your entire backlist. It happens. It's rare. Most people don't. But you want them to eventually read all of your stories. That'd be great. How do you work people through the rest of your ecosystem? Like, I know you're doing Kickstarters. I know you have a ream. Do people from events tend to buy more from you? Have they subscribed to ream? Do they support your Kickstarters? Or is it more like event people, for lack of better words, are their own little ecosystem?
I think for the most part, yeah, they're their own ecosystem. I do put a little card in the back of each of my first in series that with a QR code that links to a non-listed page on my website that if you bought this book at this event, you can buy the rest of the series for a discount. And I do tell people about that every time. To be honest, I don't get as many people taking me up on it as I thought I would when I first started it. I do get some, but...
Interesting.
I don't know. But I do make sure to tell people about upcoming books. I do make sure to tell people, you can find my books anywhere you would buy books. I tell them Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Powells.com, all the places. Powells, I'm in Oregon. Wherever they would normally buy books. And I think that I hope that people do. There's really no way for me to track that except for people coming up and going, oh, hey, yes, I bought your books on such and such a site. And I have had people tell me that. But you just got to give them the information and hope they take you up on it. I do have people following me on Kickstarter from events, and I have recognized names on Kickstarter of people who I know I met at events. So there's a little bit of crossover there. I think I've gotten followers on Ream from events. I don't think I've gotten any followers from or any subscribers from events that I know of. I have gotten subscribers from Kickstarter or who discovered me first on Kickstarter and then moved to Ream and still support my Kickstarters, which is cool because they're already getting this. All right, I'll take it. But yeah, I think just like Amazon is its own ecosystem, I think events are their own ecosystem. So focusing on keeping people coming to events might be really the best tale. and just giving them the information of where else they can buy them. One thing I've thought about doing, I haven't done it yet, but is doing like a little punch card that I give out at events of, hey, if you see me at another one, I'll give you a punch. And then at the end, I haven't decided, maybe like a piece of merch or even a free book if they fill up their card. I don't know. It's just a thought in progress.
Yeah. No, that's super. Yeah, it's a great thought. Yeah, because the more times they interact with you, if they're like one of your people, they're going to ultimately end up liking you more, wanting to support you more, and tell more of their friends, people in life about it. So yeah, that's a really cool way to gamify that a little bit. I love it. This is awesome, Anna. You really gave us a mini masterclass on how to do events. And now I'm sure, just like me, folks are wondering, where can we find you? Why, where can we, maybe not, we're going to not show up to your event, but maybe not, but well, they could. I'm like, I don't know if we want to like encourage everyone to like go to Anna's booth. That would be like fun and nice, but don't be nice, everyone. But real talk, where can we find you online?
So I have my website, annamccluskey.com. I have a Ream page, again, Anna McCluskey, and Kickstarter. I'm very active there. And then my books are wide, all the places.
Love it. That's easy to find. I'll be sure to link to your site in the description. And if y'all are looking to come to our event where there won't be any intimidating booths or people who will not, your people are going to be here. Your people are going to be at the Scriptures for Others Summit. And that'll be taking place May 6th and 7th in Boston in person. So definitely be sure that if you haven't yet gotten your ticket, now is definitely the time. We haven't picked a date and we want to close down ticket sales, but we'll probably will at least at some point a couple weeks before that event, because we want to make sure we have final tallies on things. So definitely get in now while you can. And if you want to come to the virtual summit, hang out with your people virtually, that's going to be a lot of fun. We have some amazing speakers. Everyone from Cat Team Ace will be speaking virtually. Even Ellis, we've got Elena Johnson in person, Seth Ring, Christopher Hopper in person, just amazing group of people. And you'll get to hang out with everyone. We hope to see you all there. Anna, thank you for not only sharing with us all your amazing advice here today, but also helping to lead this event. So huge thank you. And to everyone listening, I hope you have a great rest of your day. As always, happy writing. And don't forget, storytellers rule the world.